Hi, welcome to Stories of Faith and Hope from Colby Community Church. My name is Jake and I'm the pastor at Colby. This is a place where we want to share stories of people encountering the love and power of Jesus in their lives. We believe sharing stories is a great way to encourage one another as we grow in our faith in Jesus. We truly pray and hope you will be encouraged, or you might learn more about Jesus if you're curious as you listen to these stories. Thanks for tuning in. Today's testimony is from Alan Blythe, and it is called Building a Real Future. Alan is a business consultant, a husband, and a father of two children who are also married with children of their own. He and his wife Jean's favorite pastime is traveling around the Maritimes and discovering what a beautiful place we live in. This is his story of how his hobby of carpentry helped him understand what it takes to build a meaningful life.
Are you happy? It's a simple question, but one of the hardest questions to answer because it makes us think about the things that are important in life. I heard a comedian once say that he had the perfect plan for becoming a millionaire and being happy. It was very simple and only had two steps. First, he said, get $1 million. Second, find something you really like to do and do it a lot. That sounds simple, doesn't it? Well, I'm not a millionaire, but I do have some things I really like to do. One of my favorite things to do is to go to the Kent Hardware Store. But not just to Kent, going to their hardware department. They have everything you could possibly need, and it's so well organized. My favorite things to buy at Kent are screws, but not just any screws. Number 8, 2-inch wood screws. Let me explain why. You see, a smaller screw can be used mainly for crafty projects, like bird feeders, cat scratching poles, picture frames, and things like that, which are okay, but they're not my first choice for a project. Now, conversely, anything bigger than a number 8 2-inch screw would be used for very large projects like building a deck or furniture. Now, they're fun to build, mind you, but there's a problem with these projects. They have to pass the highest level of scrutiny because all the neighbors will see them, and as soon as they see anything or hear anything that was home built, they want to check it out. And if it's a table, the first thing they're doing is looking underneath it. They want to inspect how it was built. Now, whether it's some pottery or a frame mirror, everyone wants to check it out. So you see, the number 8 2-inch wood screw is the ideal screw for the home handyman's pet projects. And for me, those have been things like a custom-built window shelf, bookcases, a pine storage box, which, by the way, became a blanket chest once my wife got a look at it. Everyone sees things differently, don't they? And if you ever want to get an example of how people see things differently, just follow a couple around a craft show and listen in on them. And if they're anything like my wife and I, you might hear something like this. Well, she'll be looking at something, let's say it's like maybe a small table. My wife would be thinking about where it would look nice, what color she'd stain it, and what she'd put on it. Now, I, on the other hand, would only be thinking about one thing. I can make that. But back to the wood screws. Now, this is the important part. A project requiring that specific type of screw usually takes at least one Saturday morning to complete, and sometimes a few evenings as well. That means maybe 6 or more hours in my workshop with my tools and my music. Even if it doesn't turn out, the therapy alone is well worth it. As you can tell, I quite enjoy carpentry. I developed my interest in this early in my life from my father, who was a carpenter. When I was young, I would work with him on weekends and learned a lot from him. I was very naive, though. I remember him saying once he was going to work on a job in Paris for the weekend. It was an important job, and he asked if I'd like to go with him. And we were living in Toronto at the time, so it sounded pretty exciting. However, I was young, and I'd never heard of Paris, Ontario. So let's just say I was a little disappointed when I found out where we were really going. Another time he asked me if I'd like to go with him to a job in London. I said, sorry, I was busy then. And he said to me, but I haven't even told you when it was. And I said, yeah, I know, I'm on to you. So I developed my love for woodworking, as you can see, from him. But I don't do carpentry for a living, because unfortunately I don't have his skills. So here I am, a wannabe carpenter without the skills. but I found an excellent way to make up the difference. I found myself a good job so that I could afford better tools than he had. That's my secret, better tools. Things he did with a handsaw, I use a variety of power tools to make. It still takes me longer and may not look quite as good, but I can get the job done. Now, I should explain a little bit about my relationship with my father. I learned early in life that he knew a lot about a lot of things and could fix anything. However, I really only started to respect my father once I was married and had my own children. Isn't it odd sometimes how it takes us so long to appreciate others we just take for granted? Well, it was then that we learned to have fun together and enjoy each other's company, to joke around with each other, something we never did when I was young. For example, one time he was talking about switching to eating health food because he thought there were too many preservatives in today's food. I advised him not to bother. I said, "You're not getting any younger, Dad, and you need all the preservatives you can get." It's wonderful when you can start to think of your father as a friend, isn't it? Another time I asked him, "Dad, remember the time you told me that there are three distinct signs a person's getting older? What are they?" And he said, "Well, the first is you start losing your memory, but I can't remember the other two." Carpentry has taught me some important lessons that apply to other parts of my life as well, from raising our children, planning our future, and even things that help with my faith. Often these are simple lessons that have helped me in everyday situations, and let me give you a few examples. First of all, everything you build needs a good foundation. That's obvious for a house or for a deck, but it's also true for building a family or a friendship. And these foundations don't just appear, they take work to build. For example, my children didn't wake up one Sunday morning and declare they wanted to start going to church. No, you see, they see it as something we've always done. It's just a normal part of our lives. It's part of our family's foundation. Another important lesson I've learned is that you need to master the simple tools before moving on to the power tools. I can tell you from experience that an unskilled person with power tools will still make the same mistakes. They can just make them faster. I remember telling my wife that all our problems would be solved if only we had a router. A router, you see, is a power tool that carpenters use to finish off their work, like maybe putting on a nice edge on the edge of a tabletop or on a bookshelf. I thought that if I had this tool, I could make anything look good. Of course, I was wrong, because I hadn't mastered the simple task of cutting a straight line. Like most tools, a router looks simple and easy to use, but it's really not. So after many hours of trying to use this tool, I put it back in the box and left it there until I learned how to learn the basics well. Well, I've found that my relationship with God is something like that too. We can expect amazing things from Him, but He wants us to work on the basic things, like reading the Bible and praying regularly, caring for others, etc. This goes back to the idea of having a foundation. There are simple things we can do, but we can build a foundation on which we can expect much from Him. Now, my dad was a great father, but of all the things he taught me, there were a few things, two in particular, that we never discussed. Two mysteries I had to work out by myself, those being girls and God. Now, I don't really know why. It might have been more than me than him, but I had to learn about girls, like most of the young men, just on my own, trial and error, making mistakes. I'll never forget the time I came home and told him that I'd found the girl I was going to marry. His answer was, "No, you're not." Well, I wasn't sure what to say, so I didn't say anything. As it turns out, he was right. And when I did bring home the girl I actually would settle down with, I just introduced her as my girlfriend and left it at that. This time I got smart, and I left it up to her great personality to win my parents over. And she did. So my dad didn't help me very much with this mystery in life called girls. I also had a desire to learn about the master builder that my dad couldn't help me with. I was left to my own devices to learn about God, and for a while started believing whatever ideas came my way. See, when I was young, I had no interest in going to church. Like many young people, I was living life for the moment. I did have questions about God, but I let them sit on the back burner of life. Little did I know that God planned to move them back to the front burner. I should tell you that I'm a very analytical person and like when everything fits into logical order. So this idea of faith, of believing in your heart what you can't see with your eyes? This idea wasn't one I jumped to accept. But I was asking some pretty big questions that science, my family, and friends couldn't answer for me. Well, my girlfriend and I became engaged and started looking for a church to get married in. And after a brief search, Jean and I found a church that we really felt looked promising. So we decided to attend one Sunday morning just to check out the minister and get to know the church. Well, to our complete surprise, we were overcome with the love that these complete strangers had for us and the sense of family that they enjoyed. They also had a peace about them, and that's when I realized there was something important missing in my life. So, one Sunday led to another, and before I knew it, the second mystery in my life, who is God, was being answered. Now, I'm a kind of a person that likes to think they can handle anything that comes up in life. Whatever it is, I can always figure out a way to get through it. But being with those people in that church, I saw a joy and a peace that I longed for. But for once, I did not have the answer. I came to realize that the end of my best efforts would only be eternal separation from God unless I became his child. Well, after a while, I discovered that the joy and the peace that these folks had was available to me as well. I learned that to be in a right relationship with God meant I needed to have a personal relationship with God's Son, Jesus Christ. Just knowing about God and going to church, that's not enough. God's Word, the Bible says, that God sent his Son into the world to pay for the sins of the world. The Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of God's standard of righteousness, and that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. The Bible goes on to say that God loves us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loved me enough to die for me. And then God raised Jesus from the dead, and doing so, he conquered death in order to give us eternal life in heaven. So you see, to be saved is the same thing as having a personal relationship with God. It means I'm forgiven for my sin and will spend eternity in heaven. The Bible also says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If I wanted to invite Jesus into my life, God would make all things new, and that's what I wanted. I knew I'd fallen short of God's ideal and that there was sin in my life. I asked God to forgive me and invited Jesus to be a part of my life, and I'm happy to say that my fiancée made the same decision at that time as well. So after seeking God's forgiveness and accepting that Jesus died for our sins, we became part of God's family, and he's been with us every day since. The Bible says that love covers a multitude of sins. I experienced forgiveness for every single thing I had done wrong, and it all happened in a single moment. When I invited Jesus into my life, my slate was wiped clean. Jean and I have been married for over 40 years now, and we definitely have had our ups and downs, but God has helped us through all of them. Let me give you an example. There were years when I traveled a lot because of my work, and our family life suffered because of it, because I was away quite a bit. And I knew this was wrong. I knew I needed to change something before the problem became very serious. Well, God was watching over us, so what he led me to do was to leave a great job, working for a great company that paid me well, and move to the east coast of Canada. Putting my family above my job was the right thing to do, but I probably wouldn't have made that decision without the inner peace that God had given me. He gave me the confidence to know that this is what he wanted me to do. One of the most important things I've learned in life is that there are always two questions that will tell you most of what you need to know about anything. In carpentry, those two questions are, what exactly do you want done, and how much are you prepared to spend? With the information from these two questions, the carpenter can work out the details, plan what materials are required, and estimate when the work will be finished. Well, as you'd imagine, there are two questions we can ask that look into our spiritual lives. And these are very simple questions, but to me, they're the most important questions anyone could ever be asked. That's because they help us understand the hope that lies within us. First of all, We know that everything in life has a beginning and an end. From the flowers and the trees, the animals, and even ourselves, we know that our lives will one day come to an end. So here's the first question. Have you come to the point in your life where you know for certain that if you were to leave this world today, that you would go to heaven? Let me repeat that. Have you come to the point in your life where you know for certain that if you were to leave this world today, you would go to heaven? Interesting question, isn't it? You know, and some people would say yes, and some would say no, and others might say, you know, I'm just not sure. But let me ask you the second question. What if you were to stand before God today and he were to ask you, why should I let you into my heaven? What do you think you'd say? Typical answers that I've heard could be things like, oh, I've lived a good life. I've never intentionally hurt anyone. Or I've gone to church my whole life. Well, let me tell you, if your answer is like one of these, I have some good news for you. You can be absolutely sure today that the door to heaven will be open for you when that time comes. You see, God is offering us eternal life as a gift. Jesus has already paid the penalty for our sins. All we have to do is accept the gift and trust in Jesus. That's all. There's nothing else you need to do. In fact, there's nothing you can do to win God's favor. Just accept that Jesus has already made your place ready. Eternal life is a gift, and all we have to do is accept it. You know, I came to know God because someone cared enough to tell me about him. You can know him as well. When I asked you those two questions just now, if you were feeling you wanted to learn more about the master builder, the master carpenter, if you wanted to feel like part of his family, to be absolutely certain that you're going to heaven, then I can help you. You see, there's three simple steps to this new life, and they're easy to remember because they all begin with the letter A. The first is admit our problem. That is, sin has separated us from God. The second is asking God to forgive you. And the third, accept that Jesus died for you, and through him we have eternal life. So if this is something you want, then I'm going to ask you to do something about it. I'm going to ask you to say a short prayer with me. This is a prayer asking for forgiveness and inviting God into your life. So please pray this with me. Dear Lord Jesus, right now I choose to go your way. Thank you for giving your life for me. I accept your forgiveness for my past. And I ask you to come in and take over the controls of my life. Thank you for your tremendous gift of everlasting life. From now on, I want to follow you. Help me to read your word and to pray each day that I may live to bring honor to you. Thank you for taking me into your family. I ask this in your name. Amen. Well, I want to thank you for listening to my story. So if you're ever in Kent and you see some guy wandering around, maybe with a smile on his face and looking like he's in a bit of a daze, don't worry, it's probably me. Just in there, planning my next project, looking for some ideas and getting inspiration, and probably buying some number 8 2-inch wood screws. Thank you. May God bless you.